It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Clocks Running, the podcast for everything flag football officials and pass interference and flag guarding and holding and false start and impeding all the way through. What's up? I'm Jacob.
And I'm Ann.
We got some dope swag. What's up, everybody? We're back for another fun-filled episode coming to you live from my computer room and your... I can't tell where you're at.
It's my room.
Okay. You don't have to yell.
Yeah. Oh, my bad. Sorry.
It's all right. Okay.
I'm just so excited. And first off, I didn't even know we were going to be matching.
Well, I mean, you know.
Literally just came in the mail. You know what? I opened up the mail, and this is what I got. It's the coolest thing in the world.
When you're with Clocks Running, it's first class, okay? So when you get stuff in the mail, shout out to my guy Mike Rum. He should be getting something in the mail tomorrow, I believe, is what his tracking said. And my friends up in Boston, I believe your stuff has arrived as well. And now obviously your stuff arrived. So you know, when stuff comes in the mail, you know, mail time. That's all the singing you're gonna hear from me tonight.
Yeah, where's that from?
Blue's Clues, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, man.
It's been a long time since I've had Blue's Clues on, okay?
I get that.
No, that's awesome. So, what are we doing tonight, though? This is going to be fun.
We're gonna try a new twist. We're going to try to make things. We're gonna shake the boat. We're gonna take a different approach to how we do the show. First of all, no guests. You're getting plan A with Ant and plan B with me. So you're getting two great faces, or not, however you want to view it. But we're gonna take the approach of our friends over at our sister network, ESPN, and we're gonna take the PTI approach. We're gonna go Mike Wilbon and the other old guy. I can't remember his name either. But not Phil Mickelson. It's literally right here on the computer.
Tony.
A new approach to this, right? We're going to hit some topics.
I think his name's Tony.
Is it Tony?
Tony.
It's Tony Kornheiser and Michael.
Yeah, there we go.
Kornheiser. Holy cow. I mean, you know.
Well, okay.
Yeah. So we're going to hit some big topics tonight. We're going to talk through some stuff. We're going to have a little rapid fire. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff in that rapid fire. Maybe not a lot of stuff, but a little bit of stuff. We're just going to see where, you know, where the day takes us.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And it might be nighttime. I don't know. Depends which time zone you're in.
Yeah. Eastern Daylight Standard, whatever Dean calls it, that time zone, it's nighttime.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, you know what? This is wild to me because I feel like I've said like Eastern Standard Time forever, and apparently in the Cayman Islands, it's a big issue because
that's because they don't have daylight savings time.
Yeah, what's that all about? Isn't that important though for farmers or something? What is this time?
Do you think there's farmers in the Cayman Islands?
Bananas.
Whoa, man. Coconut? You can't just say that.
I can't say banana. Coconut?
In the Cayman. Let's see what Google says.
Okay.
Yes, there are farmers in the Cayman Islands who produce local fruits, vegetables, excuse me, and herbs.
Yeah.
Supported by recent government initiatives. So there are farmers. Maybe Dean's a farmer. Maybe that's the whole thing here.
Oh, okay. So he doesn't like it because he's a farmer.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right. Okay. Because I thought daylight saving time was invented for the farmer.
Yeah, but Dean's anti-daylight saving time. Dean starts with the finished product and goes backwards. Dean the Bean is like the Benjamin Button of farmers.
Dean the Bean, got it.
Dean
okay.
Bean.
I like it. All right. Hey, so what are we doing with the clock? You gonna hold it up? We gonna okay.
So I think for our first few topics, we're not gonna hold a clock up. We're not gonna worry about that. We're just gonna talk. And when we get to the rapid fire, we will have a timer. We're gonna rock and roll that way. Let's just see what we come up with.
Yeah. Okay. You want me to get into the first topic?
Let's do it.
All right. So, you know, speaking of time zones, over across the pond, and then under the channel, you got to go through a tunnel from Liverpool to Paris. It's so like an hour and a half. Pond,
tunnel.
Pond, tunnel. Yep. Then we end up in Paris, France for the Euros.
Euros. You think you're playing at the Eiffel Tower?
At the Eiffel Tower?
Yeah.
Like,
not on it. There's fields? That'd be ridiculous.
Okay. Like, the Eiffel Tower. I don't know. It's crazy, though. They have, like, this is like a 5-day event. They've got a concert at the end. They've got all kinds of tents and vendors and all this stuff going on.
Okay.
It is the biggest continental tournament because there's like 45 teams, both men's and women's, represented. So, yeah, really big deal. So I'm just gonna run through the results from the day. I was able to catch some of the game, but you know they started at 3 in the morning our time, so
that's nice.
Yeah, So they had a lot going on, but this is a really big deal because both men's and women's get 6 seeds for the world championship next year in Dusseldorf, Germany. I think it's Dusseldorf.
You just wanted to say that. Wait. So based off these continentals, they only get 6 teams from each advance?
Yeah. Yep.
That's kind of baloney if you think about it.
Yeah, well,
from 45 down to 12.
Yeah. So the last world championship, there was no cap on how many teams made it.
Okay.
And so they, I think there was, I'm trying to remember, I think there was like 32 men, 28 women, something crazy like that.
Okay.
And then the Olympics, you know, said, okay, well, we're only letting 6 teams in for men's and women's. So then IFAF kind of responded in that way, and they said, okay, maybe we should scale down a little bit. But now that Africa has their continental championship, well, okay, Africa's got to get a spot. So Africa had their first continentals ever. Nigeria swept the swept men's and women. So there, we know they're in. You know, we're going to talk about the Americas in a little bit. They get 5 seeds each there. The Euros get 6 each, and then I think the Asias might get 4 each, something like that.
Do we know how many Africa got? Like that from
just
Africa?
One each.
Just one. That's baloney.
Yeah, just baloney. One. Isn't Africa the biggest continent in the world?
No, the United States.
No,
Asia. We have Texas. Yeah, I think it's either Africa or Asia. I can't remember which one.
Actually, I don't know.
It's Antarctica. Duh.
Oh, of course. Not anymore, though, with the polar bears floating away.
First of all, the polar bears are still intact, thank you.
I didn't I didn't say they were not intact. I just said they were floating away.
They're not floating away, dude. This way, you think like there's an army of icebergs and polar bears.
If anybody knows anything about polar bears, it's truly you. So I'm going to trust your expertise.
Coop does call me the polar bear of the group. So
yeah, I'm saying. And when it comes to saying goodbye,
I can tell you goodbye.
Yeah. Okay. So
at some point, we need to have a whole conversation about the next year's world championships and how few teams get that. That's for another show.
Yeah.
That, you almost got me fired up about that.
I got you fired up.
Baloney.
Yeah.
Well, spots?
Okay, but hold on. Let back up. Maybe let me get you to not be fired up. There was only like four or five countries that were in the Africas this year.
It was more than that, wasn't it?
No, it was slim. It was not many. Maybe seven for the men's and like four or five for the women's. It was not a big number.
I felt like it was more than that. I could be.
You think it was double digits?
I think so. It was close. Cause I mean, like, I don't know. We'll come back to that one. I just remember that being like maybe they just hyped it up to be a bigger thing than it was. But I felt like they like had like 10, 12 teams in each bracket. Could be.
Yeah.
Wrong. I don't remember.
I mean, you know, it was there was the NFL players that were there. There was. Yeah. Was it what's the dude Ross 3000 or what's his name? You know who I'm talking about?
We called him Homie the Clown. What was his name?
I thought it was Ross
5000, 2000.
Yeah, something like that. He like
26.
Yeah, one of our ref friends from Cairo, Egypt, kicked him off the sideline because he wasn't supposed to be there.
Good job.
You know, I mean, hey, in IFAF, it's the teams and coaches, and that's it. You know, they're not.
They don't care how many numbers are in your name, Ross. How many followers you have, Ross. You are, Ross.
I just feel like.
Catches you can't catch, Ross.
Wow.
Sorry.
No, this. I think it's your shirt. You're all fired up tonight.
I am fired up.
Yeah. Okay.
Fired up.
Do you want to hear about today's results from the Euros?
Are
you
ready? Shoot. Okay.
All right. So starting in the women's. Okay. We had top seeded Austria 3-0. The reigning champ Great Britain 3-0. Host France 3-0. Spain, Germany, Italy all went 2-0. Germany beat Ireland 70-0 in one of their games.
They haven't had a beat down like that since the 1900s in northern United States. Know your history. That's a good joke.
I know. Okay, so, you know, the six undefeated teams, big matchups for tomorrow that will decide all the seeding games that you love. So we've got Austria facing off against Switzerland, which will decide that group. France and Spain, both undefeated. They're facing each other. And Germany and Italy, both undefeated, facing each other. So to me, those are the three that stand out. If you're a vet, it's IFAF.tv. You can check it out. They have four fields playing. It's, you know, it's always a good time. Lots of officials throwing flags because illegal contact happens every 1.3 seconds.
We should have had that. So, on the
show. Yeah,
we dropped the ball there. But this is a good shirt. I keep coming back to that, man. This is a good looking shirt. I see you and right? Looking good.
Yeah, yeah. So
we do have some juggernaut games tomorrow. So what is it? It's five teams per pool.
I don't know.
You said what? Austria's 3-0, right? So they have one more against Switzerland. So that's four. So yeah, I guess it would be four or five teams per pool.
Yeah,
that's interesting to see how
they probably have five in each group because they get four games each. Yeah.
Does everybody make the bracket?
No. The top two for each group makes it.
Oh, so who's on the cusp? Because we know like. Ireland's not going on. They just took a 70 burger.
Yeah.
Is there anybody who's like 1-1, 1-2,
sure.
2-1? Like they that could maybe couldn't.
So I think that Austria Switzerland game, that's why that's such a big deal, is because Switzerland needs to beat Austria. Austria is undefeated. Switzerland's 1-1, so they got an earlier game. If they win it like expected and face Austria, they could pull that second seed in that group. So for them, that's important.
Right.
France and Spain, they're both undefeated. So if Spain wins their morning game, then they've got France in the afternoon.
Right.
And that's gonna decide who gets the number one seed for that group. So it would probably be expected that France and Spain come out of that group. It'll probably the other one is Germany and Italy. Probably expected that, you know, they both come out. But it's really gonna depend who wins it with those undefeated teams. And then Great Britain looks like they're already 3-0. They're the reigning champ. Right. Yeah, so they're gonna come out of the bracket. So
I just pulled the scores right here. How about Ukraine being a wild card? You know, I mean they did pretty solid against Great Britain. They only lost by a score. But they handedly beat Finland and they handedly beat Czechia. So I mean like there's teams there's some wild cards in here. Just the scores, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that I understand that they want to give as many games as possible, plus because all the seedings matter. It's not just about who gets, who gets first place.
Right.
So, but it's interesting that they play an even amount of games.
Yeah.
Because you can end up with a bunch of tiebreakers. And that could be dangerous. Does that then create extra games, that were unnecessary or whatever? So
sure, it's a balance. I was actually talking to the head coach of American Samoa yesterday, and something we spoke about was the reason for these games, and you and I had talked about this a while back, where I didn't agree with them playing all those placement games and all the extra. Partially because of injury, partially because from a tournament perspective, why are you putting more games on the field? That's potentially going to push your tournament behind. But the simple fact of funding alone makes it make perfect sense to me. The more I look over this list, like Turkey is another team. They were a one-score game against Great Britain, but they won their other, where did it go? They beat Chechnya again. Like, that's a... There are some teams that are pretty solid in here outside of the main powerhouses of Spain, Germany, Italy, Great Britain.
Absolutely. Austria being the top seed, but Slovenia and Switzerland are both 2-1. So, I mean, that is the thing that they could lose that top spot. It is funny because so in these scenarios, just like with the World Games, China had never even been in international play, but they got a guaranteed spot in the most competitive women's international play. Germany. Go ahead.
I was going to say, who got knocked out because of that? Who was number 8 that should have been there that didn't get to go because China got to take a host spot?
So, which was really weird, what actually happened was Spain made they made the World Games.
And they didn't get to go.
Yeah, because of funding issues or whatever. Yeah. And then Italy got the invite. So Italy was they were on the outside looking in because of China getting that spot. And then they got in. But I don't know. I mean, I guess it gave Italy some more international play, but I mean, they struggled out there in China. Now, but look at this, they're 2-0. So, but we talked to Ambra, before they had even, prepared for the World Games, because they got that last second, bid there, they weren't very, as prepared roster wise to make it.
Yep.
I think this is their roster that they were more focused on.
So do you think, because didn't they have to set their roster then for the World Games, and that has to be their roster for the year? So they still had to rush. I didn't think they could change. They can't change their roster middle of the year. They have to stay within that 18.
Oh yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah, so.
Look at their scores. Like they're playing good. That I don't think they played the best talent. If you look at Denmark and I mean Ireland put 22 points on them. They had the 70 burger. I'm gonna keep calling that.
So they did get Ireland. And Denmark was not a very close game either. I mean, I guess that's true also because Italy at the World Games they were playing Canada, U.S., yeah. Mexico, so they got the heavy hitters for sure. The other interesting. So speaking of that, though, as far as like the home country, so in Dusseldorf next year, Germany gets the automatic bid for both men's and women. So what's the strategy in that? Do you want to show all your cards? Do you want to go undefeated? Do you want to win this tournament when you already have a guaranteed bid?
I don't think there's a long play here. I think at least looking in, like I would be focused on you're building to that point, right? So I want I want the best team now that I know I can carry into next year. I automatically have a bid. There's no stress of losing, but let's figure out what's going to be the best team now. If somebody's not going to work, we make the adjustment. But if I was picking the teams 5 months ago, 4 months ago, whenever they had to select their roster, it would have been to prepare for not just this year, but next year as well. I'm looking at winning both tournaments if I can. That would be my
goal. Okay. Yeah, all right, makes sense.
Pressure's kind of off, but not necessarily either.
Yeah, and ultimately, I mean, I feel like really the pressure is on Great Britain. They want to repeat. They didn't have a great performance in China, and so they want to bounce back and feel a little bit more confident going in Germany. But yeah, no, that makes sense. Want to move into the men's or any other thoughts on the women's?
No, I mean, just looking at this, Germany was so dominant. 70-0 Ireland, 52-0 Denmark.
Yeah.
Did they only play the two games?
Yeah. Yep.
The other interesting thing to me, this is gonna be my last point on the women, and this is actually kind of just overall for this tournament. Israel is not a European country. But see, I find that interesting that they are there. Not to get political, not to do anything like that. I just find interesting when you have the Asia Oceania tournament and you have Israel included in the European. Might just be how they decided to do it. Might just be how, the maps are aligned currently because of what was in the past. I don't know, but that name kind of stuck out. And I went, wait a minute, that's not a European country.
Yeah. So is Turkey part of Europe?
Turkey's a weird one because Turkey is technically Turkey, I don't think they are either. That's
And what about Ukraine?
Ukraine I would count as a European. I think Ukraine's kind of the end of the year.
If those three countries countries in the European Union, are they in the Warsaw Pact? I mean, we're talking about Cold War stuff here, man. This is serious business.
So Turkey borders two EU member states, Bulgaria and Greece. But they're not technically a member of the European Union. I didn't think Israel definitely isn't.
But, I mean, are they even part of Asia? Is that an African country? They're right next to Egypt.
No. But see, Israel is in Asia.
Okay.
This is interesting.
And then Ukraine is...
Ukraine. In case you guys at home are wanting to, you know, get a geography level, geography, and can't figure out how to get from Ohio to Texas, but we're going to figure out. So, Ukraine is a part of the EU, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, they... let's see. Yeah, they're a part of...
I know there was a lot of controversy. I did watch a documentary on Netflix around when the Cold War ended.
Yeah.
Which country that
Netflix
broke off
not
from
around
the
USSR? The Cold War ended. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, it's funky. Like I think like they just joined part of the whole like Russia Ukraine comp whatever. It's just the way this is laid out is interesting to me. At the end of the day, I don't care. I find it interesting how things maneuver, especially now that we have like Asia, Oceania, continentals. Like, let's just say Israel doesn't place top, what is it, six or four?
Six.
Six. Yeah. Let's just say they finish seven or eight. Do they then go to the Asia continentals and play?
No, they can't.
So they can't.
No,
Bold strategy. Because
why wouldn't you, if you're an experienced team, because Israel's had a team for a while now.
Absolutely, they've been pretty good.
As soon as the Asia Continentals, and I think this is only their second time doing it, why not go over to Asia and win it?
Absolutely. The only competition right now, I don't know what Pat's done with China. I can't say anything. Japan has been typically solid. I don't know what the rest of the teams are going to look like though for that continental.
So, yeah, no, I mean Australia. You know they have a good team.
Yeah.
I don't even think Japan won both of them last continental. I think Thailand won one of them or something like that.
I feel like you're right.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't know. I feel like the growth of flag football in Asia, Israel might have missed their chance. Maybe now they're like, we got to stay in Europe because things are exploding over there. So,
but is that what you would want?
I
would want to go where like I can lock in and secure a spot because like that's where some strategy would come. Germany doesn't have a choice; they're right in the center.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
But like Israel, Ukraine, like you have some flexibility. You have more possibilities than Italy or Spain.
Did you say possibilities in Italy?
Yes, absolutely. The possibilities are endless. I don't understand how you don't think this stuff's going to happen.
Okay. I just, here's the thing though. There's less bids available in Asia. So, are you playing that into your deciding?
Unless there's that few less, I mean, that's the only thing I could justify it with. If it's like that significantly less, and you're not confident you could win, that's the only thing that I would say. Otherwise, I mean, I'd say go for it. But then again, sure. That's why we're sitting here in clocks running world, and they're out in big boy and girl world, not with us.
That's true. That's very true. All right, we got to keep it moving.
We do. We've been talking a lot about this.
We'll just run through results real quick with the men. They're boring. They're not the future of the game anyway. So,
guys.
Yeah, we got reigning champ Germany 3-0, six-time European champion Denmark 3-0, Slovenia is 3-0. A host, France, also 3-0. Swiss, Austria, Israel, Italy, and Great Britain, all 3-0. So, see, now the men's team of Israel is a strong team.
Yeah.
So, and then up until last year, they had won every U17 in Europe. So, maybe for Israel, they've they felt confident about where they stand in men's, and they just said the women just got to come with us.
They just
got to
go with us.
They just got to go where we go.
You're along for the ride.
So, all right, so 9 countries undefeated out of day one. Big matchups for tomorrow. Austria versus Great Britain. That's going to be a great game to watch. Slovenia versus Germany. Slovenia versus Denmark. So depending on how that Slovenia versus Germany game goes, because those three are in a 3-way tie. They're all in the same group. So
Sucks, man. That's wild. You got 3-3-0 team and only 2 of them make it out. That's tough.
Yeah, so that is that's going to be interesting. So then Denmark versus Germany. So that those three games are all going to be big, and it's only 2 coming out of day one. You're undefeated. And you might not make it. Crazy.
That's wild. So the good thing though, like, call it what it is. Like that, those are going to be our best teams, and like number 3's being left out. That should be the third place team in my mind.
Yeah.
If you're going through that juggernaut, if I'm eliminated, I go 0-2 of that group of 3 right there. Yeah. I'm not mad. I'm mad I didn't win, but I'm not mad at the whole tournament experience. You know, they came and mopped up the first 2 games, and then just, you know, if it's respectable, then, you know, you got nothing to hold your head about.
Yeah, no, for sure. And then finally, France versus Israel. So that'll, you know, that'll eliminate one of the undefeated teams, and then Italy versus Swiss as well. So, and we know Italy very well. The quarterback, plays tackle in the United States. They made it to the 1 men's World Games championship against the United States in 2022 with, the quarterback with his famous giant book of plays in his belt.
I don't care. My guys in Austria are gonna clean up. They're gonna do great.
I'm excited. Oh, okay.
Yeah, they are the epitome of what flag football is to me. Like, it's just a bunch of average. Just seeing them at a glance, like they look like just a bunch of average Joes just going out there having fun, gonna crack a couple cold ones after the game with the boys. maybe put a 10-piece wing down, each. But they're not going mild because, we go big.
Yeah.
They're getting some Reaper sauce on it.
Oh, okay. They like the spicy wing sauce in Austria.
Yeah. Spicy wing sauce, not spicy football,
this is crazy, man. You and me have known each other for a good amount of time, and I never knew how passionate you were about Austrian flag football.
I'm not, but
All right. Well, that being said, let's move on to the next topic. Where do we go next, man? You go ahead and pick.
You know what? We're talking international. Let's keep talking international. Let's talk about the Continentals that we had, down in Panama. Let's see who sent you that? Who bought you that?
Where did that come from? Oh, man, there's a local store downtown that I support. They got a barbershop right next to it. He prints shirts. I was looking for a shirt that could show my pride. I got that. it's great, man.
So he printed that while giving you a haircut?
No, my son got a haircut there. He got the low taper fade or whatever the kids get these days. It's 2 different shops. Like, you go down a hallway, go to the left, they've got shirts, lots of, football jerseys, Stalker. Blankets, banners, all kinds of things there. And then to the right is the barbershop. And so, yeah, it was a great experience. Picked up a real fun jersey. So go ahead. Okay, what are we talking about? Yeah.
We started ladies first last time. Let's start ladies first this time. So Mexico won on a technicality.
Whoa! Hey.
What do you mean, whoa? What do you mean,
hey?
Last time I checked, the clock did not hit zero.
So at half.
Technicality? Did they? Right.
Okay. Go ahead. Right?
They won on a technicality because per IFAB rules, if you're up by 12 or more at any, is it any point?
At half.
If you're up at by more than 12 at half, and there's a inclement weather, then they have a winner declared. I think that's baloney because IFAB has 7-hour halves. So anything, especially in the final 2 minutes, like that, you know, the first 18 minutes is, you know, can get done in about 18 minutes. The final 2 minutes take 6 hours and 42 minutes.
Seven hours, crazy.
Yeah, but I mean, like, tell me I'm wrong. Those games take forever. I mean, you got to tip your hat to them. Those girls balled out. You know, they played their game and they won handedly every game leading up to, including when they played the U.S.
Yeah, so I do have to say this. This is what's so crazy about the result. Okay, technicality. I get it. But this is what I'm going to say about
it. Just say it.
I get it.
That's not what I wanted.
So Mexico's driving before the rain starts at all. Mexico's driving. They're up 12-0 at this point. It was fourth and goal, and they had a incomplete pass. They would have gone up 18-0. Okay, at that point, game would have been over. It was already under 2 minutes left in the first half. Now Canada is driving. Before they cross midline, it's starting to rain. Yeah, they're driving. Sarah Parker, you know, QB1 out of, you know, Sub-Zero. We know her well. Now they're like first and goal. The rain's coming down like crazy. First pass, back of the end zone, incomplete pass. Second pass, other side of the end zone, batted away. So now they're third and goal, and then all of a sudden, it was torrential. They clear the field. So
she had two more shots to potentially score, and they would have had to declare a tie. Wild.
Yeah.
We could have had two sets of co-champs. We'll get to that in a minute.
For sure.
That's tough.
Yeah, so I mean, it for sure. I will say this: up until that drive, Mexico dominated both sides of the ball. They did not let Canada get any offense going at all the entire first half. Up until that last drive, they scored both times. They almost scored a third time. So they were dominating that game. I do think that, you know, in that sense, but I gotta correct you. Mexico did lose a game in Panama. They lost to Canada.
That's right. They did.
Yeah, so that was
the U.S. and them on the other side.
Exactly. So that was a crazy game because the last three times that Mexico and Canada have faced, Canada goes up big, and then Diana Flores says, nope, not in my house. And she takes over. And so they were down 13 points. Mexico comes back. All right. So now it's 26-25. They go for two for the win. Incomplete pass. Canada then does not burn the clock. Canada gives Mexico the ball back with enough time to win the game. Mexico gets all the way down into the red zone and throws an interception. Game over.
This is where I talk about those 6 hours and 42 minutes of this final 2 minutes. That game should have been over.
Yeah, for sure.
But I mean, IFAB gives you so many opportunities to score. If you don't take advantage of it, it's 100% on you. Like X for any team. You know, it – to me, it's looking at these scores, like for the Euro, like I know we were just talking about that, and just looking at how little some of these teams score, it's mind-boggling to me. You know, everything, if IFAF is, I don't say cater's not the right word, but everything is oriented for the offense to produce and for you to have success on offense, from the contact to everything, to end zones. I mean, I just, there's no reason you're not scoring points.
Yeah. Yep.
It's a small field. You're not playing, you know, this is not, you know, you're not in the NFL. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree with you. You know, and just the final thing I want to say, I know everyone talked about it. They've broken down the game and everything like that. Shout out to the U.S. women. Yep. You know, they played a great tournament. I just think that whatever it is, funding wise or support, Mexico has an entire coaching staff, and they are breaking down everything the United States have done. And unfortunately, there's lots of film on the United States players.
Well, sure.
So I just think it's a situation where the Mexican Olympic committee supports their flag football team, especially their women's flag football team, so much that they can have 15 coaches, they can have scouts on the sideline, they can have all of these things, and you see it that there's just this like, oh, okay, this worked in the first half, and Mexico just adjusts and make sure it doesn't work again. So you saw it in the World Games. The World Games was a close game, but that game against the United States, I mean, Mexico had control of that game the entire time.
Oh, yeah, the entire time. So I think my only thing coming back to, like, how much do you think it's funding? Like, those folks on the sidelines with the headsets and all the extra stuff, do you think is them being paid to be there? Or do you think that's just somebody saying, we want the success of that team. We're not here for money. We're here for success. We'll give our time. We'll do all this extra stuff. You know, we'll do the extra that we need to. And it's just a family. But not saying that no one else has that, but I'm just like, this is what's been visible to the world to see. Nobody really else has, you know, 8-10 people up in the stands watching, you know, a single person and their actions and how they fit that puzzle piece to the whole picture. I don't know, man. Like part of me thinks like that they're sure. I think it's more of an investment of time and people wanting just success for that country, and for Mexico to have, versus so much of the Mexican Federation just getting like just, you know, unlimited amount of money.
Yeah. No. I mean, yeah. That sounds good.
Could be wrong. I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, I mean, neither one of us are in those rooms, you know, back, no, just like you said, we're over here in the clock's running world and they're over there. But I mean, I do know that it's like, there are some former players that were on the national team. And so, you know, there's those kind of scenarios. But yeah, I mean, there is a significant difference as far as that goes, where it's like, yeah, this is going, I mean, also Mexico is like Oregon. They have 7 different jerseys, like, And there, it's not Nike that's paying for those jerseys. Like, they have a company out of Mexico that has designed these. You can't find them anywhere. I've looked.
Right.
I want my 27. You know, like, like it's an exclusive group that gets those jerseys. Like, there is a huge amount of, you know, a huge amount of pride there. You know, just seeing Panama and how it all went. You know, it's just all of these countries, they're so excited about, you know, being able to participate in these tournaments. I don't want to leave out the countries that made the tournament. So for the women's, we got Mexico, Canada, U.S., Panama, the host country. You know, they're kind of in that middle ground. They can beat the lower teams, but they're still kind of getting blown out by U.S., Canada, Mexico. So there is a gap between the three juggernauts and everybody else there. And then Brazil, you know, got the final spot for the women's. And then for the men's, it was the same exact thing. Mexico, U.S., Canada, Panama, Brazil. So that's –
you just listed Mexico first.
Yeah, because they won.
What?
Yeah, Mexico. I got in my notes right here. Mexico champs, men's champs in Panama.
Co-champs.
Co-champs. Hey, man, come on, bro. This isn't one of those backyard tournaments in the East Coast, man, where they split the pot. We're talking about the Continentals, man.
And they left without playing a gold medal game.
Oh.
So I don't think we can call them champs. We can call them co-champs.
Oh, I hate it. But I hate it.
I think these two should meet up somewhere.
Anywhere.
Anywhere. I mean, we're literally we join borders, you know.
That's true. That is true.
You know, we should be able to, you know, have the guys run down across the border or have them run. No, I don't know if I can let them go. Okay, I don't know if he'd allow that. But in all seriousness, I struggle with a tournament with that kind of what? Because did the bronze medal game play?
Yeah, it played beforehand.
See, this is where this is the part that I understand the funding's necessary, but we lost gold medal games because we're playing placement games.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, in the words of the great and famous Ricky Bobby, if you ain't first, you're last.
That's true. Very true. So yeah. Well, and I got to look at, I know that this is, you know, kind of an exhibition that got put on. But all right. So in the world championship that happened, the IFAF, you know, everybody was anticipating for the men's. Okay, we got U.S., Mexico, blah, blah, blah. And then Austria comes out of nowhere. They run the best 2-minute drill ever in flag football. They beat Mexico, and so we don't get that game. So Mexico comes back, and they're like, fine. We want Austria to come to Mexico, and we want a rematch. We want the revenge game. And Mexico blew Austria out. It was torrential rain. It was amazing.
They created like this own little hell for Austria, and then
that's exactly what they
murdered them. That doesn't count.
Come on, man. The Chiefs do it all the time.
No, the
Buffalo Bills.
What?
Yeah, the Buffalo Bills, they like shovel out the entire stadium just so they can beat a team in the snow.
Yeah, but they're not in the snow once they shovel it out. That's different. You're creating a better environment in Buffalo versus down in Mexico with what they just did. They just poured rain on them and then made it worse.
So my point is, though, my point is that Mexico and the United States should make that happen. Okay, we get it. We're both going to Dusseldorf next year. But let's have a game. Let's play this. You know, the national teams are set until next spring. So, like, what? Come on, Jerry Jones. Where are you at, bro? Let us use the stadium.
He's in a hyperbaric chamber.
let's have this game. I want U.S. versus Mexico. I want to see it.
I'm surprised, and I haven't talked to George or anything since. I'm surprised he hasn't tried to set something up. And maybe he can't. I don't know. I don't know how that works. But I would be shocked if they don't do something.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. That being said, where do you want to go next, man?
I think we got to go to DM time.
Okay. Well, I don't know what music.
DM time.
All right. Here, you know, Clocks Running Instagram is exploding these days. We are well on the way to 6,000 followers. We appreciate everyone that supports us. And the DMs are always popping. People asking questions, sending videos about bad calls or calls that were missed. So this past week, we got it very interesting. It started with a video. Now, I will say this. I appreciate all videos, but just realize that if you send a drone video, there is no official that will ever have that view.
So, we will so laugh first, at you.
Yeah, so first and foremost, if you send a drone angle, just realize that you have already created an angle that no official on that field saw. All right.
Shout out to my guy above the games too for providing these beautiful angles.
Yep, above the games, mozzarella and barbecue sauce. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So that being said, and it was a scenario where the quarterback pump faked, and in the pump fake, they swung their hip out at the rusher. Mm. And then threw the ball.
Okay.
Receiver caught the ball in the end zone. Downfield, we have a signal for touchdown. And then we had a flag thrown with the contact that was made between the rusher and quarterback. All right. Okay. So very quickly, my understanding what happened, very quickly the referee said to the offense, you want the touchdown or you want the penalty? And they said, we'll take the touchdown. And they said, okay, roughing the passer, declined, touchdown is good. And then the quarterback, knowing the rule book, said, wait a minute, I want the yardage assessed on the 2-point conversion because it was roughing the passer.
So we're going from the
then, yeah, so then the official says, you're right, got you covered. We're going for two from the six. And so that's what they did. That 2-point conversion put that team up 9 points, triggered no stop clock, and they ended up winning the game.
Wow.
So, way, you know, pretty, yeah, pretty big deal. So I just, you know, I understand for, you know, that players tend to skip over parts of the rule book or don't even look at it at all.
What? So, come yeah. on, dude. No way. Everybody reads the rule book.
Okay.
Giving people credit. Of course.
The rule book. You know, okay, fair enough. Yeah, so this is in the general rules. It's right there for all formats. It does not change. So, Jacob, go ahead and explain to me why somebody can get a touchdown and a penalty assessment.
Because it's a roughing penalty. Any kind of okay. roughing penalties you can tack on at the end. We refer back to high school rules for that, and that's what the rule book says. So any kind of roughing penalty that occurs, illegal contact, you know, stuff like that, you can tack, if you score, you can tack it on for your extra point or yeah. the ensuing drive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think the wording around it basically is as long as it's not a non-player, you know, like if someone committed a foul from the sideline or, right. you know,
like, you're not going to, you know, you wouldn't tack a hold on, but you can tack like illegal contact. You can tack roughing the passer, like PI, like stuff like that. You can tack that on to the extra point. If you don't yeah. do it, that's on you.
Yeah, no, for sure. So that was the, you know, gave the explanation, gave the article reference. This is, you know, how it is. It's funny, though, because got that DM, and then not more than 3 or 4 hours later, got a second DM from a team in that same league saying, well, we heard that that if this happens, then the penalty assessment can be on the 2-point conversion. And I said, okay, just to be clear, it can be on the conversion or the next drive, whichever the offense wants to do. So let's make sure mm-hmm. we're clear on that. But yes, that is correct. So I think what probably happened is the one person went to the league and was like, oh, well, I heard this is a rule and clocks running told us. And then the other team was like, wait a minute. We don't believe you. We're going to check with clocks running and hear it from the horse's mouth. So,
please, 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 just go read the rule book.
That's it. Yeah.
You know, nope. it's printed. You don't have to run to us. We promise you what we're saying. It's in the book.
Yeah.
If you don't believe us, yeah. read.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. All we're doing is reading the same thing that you have access to. Like, there's not an extra rule book that we have access to.
Secret rule book for us.
Yeah, secret one. So, cool, man. That was in the DMs.
In the DMs. Glad somebody slid in your DMs.
Okay. Are we on to rapid fire? Is that where we want to go next?
We got one more.
Oh, okay. Where are we going?
We're gonna talk about my guy Tom Brady coming out with the big news while he's on Fox. Not only is he a partial owner for the Raiders, not only is he a Fox sports commentator when he booted Greg Olsen from the number one spot because he's a six-piece anyways, but now he's adding professional flag football player to his resume.
Nice.
Next year in the spring, him and several other NFL players are going to go to Saudi Arabia, right? Or no, they're going to Dubai.
Yeah, Dubai, yeah.
So they're going to the UAE, excuse me. They're going to the UAE, and they're going to play, is it a game or a tournament?
I think it's a tournament, yeah. Yep.
We're going to play a tournament. Tom Brady's getting stupid money to play. On the flip side, Rajon Rondo has just come out as well and realized that his – point guard days for the Boston Celtics are done. Good news, though, he can kind of sling the rock in a co-ed game.
Yeah.
So we're seeing professional athletes starting to play flag. We're starting to get some traction. We're starting to see how this is all starting to show up. I do think we do need to talk about this tournament in Dubai. They're paying Tom Brady, was it like $75 million to play in a flag football tournament?
Yeah.
Keep that in mind, guys. The sky, the ceiling for flag football is $75 million. If you can't get your own tournament fees paid, then you're not doing it right. Tom Brady's never played flag football before in a competitive way, and he just made $75
million. That's a good point.
So,
very good point. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on this, man?
Well, I hate to be the I told you so, but bro, I've been saying this for the past year and a half. Every time the conversation came up, I was saying, don't be surprised if Tom Brady, with all of his arrogance and his ego, that he loves to have the spotlight. He went to Tampa Bay for an extra ring. He's done all this stuff. Why wouldn't he want to win the first gold medal in football?
Do you think it's him who gets the shot, though?
I mean, if he wants to be a coach.
You get a 10-player roster. Wait. Coach or player? Those are two very different things.
I know. I just think somehow he's going to get involved and because he wants a gold medal. And I think this is proof of it. This might be his opportunity to say, all right, let me try it out. Let me see if I can actually do this 2 years out from the Olympics. If he plays anywhere decent at all, he is going to get back in the lab and he is going to play in the Olympics. Now, if he doesn't.
Hold right there. Pause 1 second. So you think if he plays decent, he's going to be around guys that are going to make him look great. You and I could go back there and play with Christian McCaffrey. There's a whole list of these guys. I just remember his face. Gronk, I think, is on there. Oh, goodness me. Let's see. I just said goodness me. Pardon that. Sauce Gardner, Saquon Barkley. Number one, how are these guys getting around their NFL contracts for this?
Probably because it's in Dubai.
Yeah, I mean, but even then, like, that's bananas.
They don't have to declare anything.
Bean Dean's growing them. Bean Dean's growing them.
I don't know, man. I just feel like, what's the difference? In the Olympics, if Tom Brady says, look, I want one of those 10 spots, and I'm going to build the offense I want, who's going to tell him no?
George.
Is he? Because nobody told LeBron no when he randomly said, look, whoever's playing in these international basketball games that are losing to New Zealand, I'm tired of it, and I'm playing in the Olympics this year.
Did you just say nobody, New Zealand?
Yeah, for sure I did. Because literally the United States goes to these international basketball tournaments without NBA players, and they're losing games. It just happened this past summer. Yeah. And so, you know, so LeBron James, without a tryout, without anything, said, I'm on the team. And
it's different, though.
I want these players with me.
The only difference in between FIBA basketball and NBA is how they call the fouls and where the three-point line is. Everything else is the same.
Okay. I do get that, but
I struggle with him. What's he going to come out with? Like, New Balances, like from the combine?
I'll kiss
my kids on the mouth and let's do it.
First off, Chris Hughes, I apologize for Jacob insulting your New Balances, okay?
Well, he doesn't wear New Balances. He doesn't wear them. Chill out. He wears basics. I've seen his shoes. Him in the turf shoes. Chris Hughes, that's hilarious. We should have
it. I do.
People.
Yeah. I just feel like it's a situation where LeBron James and Tom Brady live in the same world of they want to be considered the best of all time, the greatest. They want every record. They want all of that. And so how does Tom Brady completely silence anyone that's ever said, like us old heads saying Joe Montana was the most dominant quarterback? And here comes Tom Brady and says, yeah, not only did I win with two teams, but I won the first Olympic gold medal at quarterback.
Yeah. I don't disagree. From a fundamental, I don't disagree. I don't know that this necessarily is going to equate to what the Olympics is going to be. I could see it. I think you're absolutely right. There's a potential for it. But I don't – if Lamar is available, if Patrick Mahomes is available, they give me a better player right now because they're not just playing quarterback.
But the thing that you've brought up a lot is the contract issues. And those are the guys that are going to have the contract issues.
And that will be Tom's only thing he's going to have to worry about is not being in the booth for a week for Fox.
Yeah,
and I'll just move Greg back up to number one, and then when Tom goes back, I'll move him back down to number two. I'm not bitter about that at all, in case you can't tell.
Okay. All right. Where do we move on? What are we doing?
I think we move on. But first of all, we got to shout out my guy. What did you just do?
We were just moving on.
Oh, okay. So we're just creating filters. Okay. All right. Just trying to make sure I keep up with what's going on. All right. Real quick, we got to shout out my guy, Kevin at Tacky Bar. You know, he's doing big things. He's speaking of NFL. He's working with NFL teams. He's working with raccoons and that have pink eyeballs and pink ears. What have you got? What's going on? You're just grabbing stuff at this point. Shout out to my guy, Kev. He's got a pretty sweet deal with Infinite Flag. You want some dope joggers. He's got shirts. You got a hat. He's got probably hats. He's got t-shirts, hoodies, tacky bars, tacky bar spray. He's got it all. You can condition your football. Not going to say just your balls, but you can condition your football and make it the best that you want. There's no reason to have any drops if you're using a tacky bar. Hit my guy Kevin McDonald up.
I love it. Tacky bar. That was great.
All right, and we're back.
All right, cool.
For the final segment for tonight, we're going to – so Pardon the Interruption usually does – they do a rapid fire. They only go for a minute. I think we need a little bit longer because, you know, we're new to this kind of thing. So we're going to put 2 minutes on the clock.
Yeah.
We're going to reset. Because why is it not reset? What the crap?
Oh my goodness, this is crazy. This is just really hey, check out one of these.
What is that? Oh, yeah, sweet coin there.
Yeah. Nice. Unk. Shout out Unk Apparel, Unk Refs, Unk TV. That's my guy. Hey, Unk, check it out. Co-ed power rankings, no matter what, that team. That's your team. Okay, are we ready? We're ready to go?
We're ready. It's going to be at a minute 58. But we're going to go ahead and start. All right. So one, two, buckle my shoe, and then we're going to go. All right.
All right.
Hit it.
All right. So first and foremost, Uganda has signed up a team for the USA Flag World Championships in Tampa in January. Talk to me, Jacob. What do you think about
it? Is it not incredible that we're starting to see more countries from different continents, that places we've never seen before? I'm pumped that they're going to have a team there. I'm also pumped at how many international officials we're going to have. I was talking to Travis the other day. We're looking at close to 40 to 50 officials that we bring in this year are going to be on the international side.
That's amazing. And including those 40 to 50 officials, we also have with Uganda, France, Canada, Cayman Islands, Afghanistan, China, Cuba, England, and Mexico, all bringing teams. I'm excited about that. You know, for me, it's international versus everybody. So I love to see the international teams traveling. I love to see the international officials coming through. Yeah, and speaking of international officials, let's go right into the next thing. Today, we had Spain and Austria playing with a five-man officials crew. How do you feel about that on the field?
Mixed feelings. So you got a lot of eyeballs. There should be no missed calls. There should be everything should be spick and span, crystal clear. There's probably a ton of penalties. But on the flip side of that, you get a lot of good views. You get a lot of good exposure. You're getting a lot more angles. So I think it's a really good thing if you use it properly. It's something that we can look at doing. I don't think it'll be a regular thing, but it's something we can put on the books. Let's talk about big names outside of the U.S., players. We got people all over the country. We got 20 seconds. We got a lot to cover still.
Yeah, yeah, I know. And all I got to say, I love seeing who's playing Mexico. I just wonder if that is foreshadowing that he is going to play on the Mexican national team for the Olympics.
Could you imagine? All right, to wrap us up. We're hitting for USA Flag. We're hitting the 10-year anniversary. Shout out to Chuck and Travis. They've created. We were so close. we're hitting a huge milestone with them. Those two guys have put their heart and souls into everything they do to create a space for us to be able to play and get together. And I know without those two, a ton of the relationships I've made over the years wouldn't have been possible. And I probably wouldn't have left North Carolina nearly as often as I have. So I owe those guys everything as far as my flag career goes. So I really appreciate them.
Yeah, absolutely. Shout out to Travis for all the battles against Allen Elite. We played in Seattle in the mud. We played in Fort Collins, Colorado. We played in Santa Clarita. I feel like every time I signed up for a tournament, I had to play against Travis. But I appreciate both Travis and Chuck so much, everything that they've done. And I think they got a great heart behind everything they've done as well. It's about building community. And I think we've all benefited from the flag football community. And, hey, ultimately, that's how you and me met. So,
absolutely, 1,000%.
Right? Yeah. And then, shout out to my guy Declan, bro. Just keep on keeping on, man.
Hey, buddy. You know we ain't gotta worry about who's lying, nothing like that. Listen, you guys want to meet the what do we say, the 57th, 54th president of the United States? Yeah. Hit me up in Orlando in a couple weeks. He'll be there. 17-year-old kid ready to take over the world. We couldn't be more proud of him. Just keep grinding, bud.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we did great, man.
Yeah, I think this was fun.
Yeah, and yeah. These are – I'm sorry, but this is – I feel like this is the best shirt we've made.
This is definitely top three. We've made this is definitely top three. No, I love it. I think this is a really cool shirt. I think we're going to get some publicity with these, and we're going to – they're going to be flying off the shelves. And by shelves, I mean the box they come in, they come to me, and then when I ship them out. So – be on the lookout. We got sick merch. Got Pat. Could you imagine if we put this with the chill ref guy?
Oh yeah, that'd be great. See, right, the chill again, ref right here.
Yeah, possibilities are endless,
especially in Italy.
Especially in Italy, with some mozzarella. You want to throw on the night? Anyway,
that'd be. Where do you find it, Jacob?
Everywhere. We're on anywhere you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, Pandora. The best place to watch is on YouTube. You can see our ugly mugs. Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, MySpace, Your Space, X, Y, W, G. We're on TikTok. All of those. TikTok, we're definitely there. We're on Threads. We are on. Anywhere. Reddit, probably. If you type in Clocks Run, you will probably pop up. I don't know. Probably like after one of like those weird pages that, you know, somebody's, you know, conspiracy theory on. I don't know. But we're everywhere. There's nowhere we aren't. Check our link tree in our bio on Instagram. That's the best place to get everywhere that you know, where you need to be. For merch, hit us up. We're getting ready to launch a pretty sweet commercial with all of our merch. So you can see what we've got, and where you can get it. Yeah.
There we go. Cool. No, that's it. And we'll see everybody next week.
Be good. The clock's always running. Clocks ran out, and we're out. We'll be right back.